Hey there, Coach. Coach Will Love here. We have a great episode for you, but before we start, I wanted to let you know that the Idaho Basketball Coaching Podcast now has a newsletter. The newsletter has a bunch of great resources, including drills and concepts that I use with my program. It also includes write-ups to help you become a better coach. To subscribe to the newsletter, go to coachingidaho.substack.com. There, you'll also find an archive of past newsletters. Thanks for listening, and let's start talking some basketball. We're fortunate to have Andy Harrington on this episode. Coach Harrington is the head boys coach at Hawaii High School in Meridian. The Storm just concluded a dominant season and are now celebrating their second 5A state title in the last 3 years. And this marks Coach Harrington's third state title overall as a head coach. And we have to point out that he is an OG when it comes to this podcast, having appeared on episode 7 way back in the day. Coach Harrington, thanks for talking some basketball with us today. How's everything in the Treasure Valley?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Coach Love. Doing well. The weather's nice and sunny right now. It's a little windy, but yeah, big fan of your podcast. I listen to as many of them as I can. Last time I was on, I think COVID had hit, so it's been quite a while, but not a big fan of what you do, and I'm excited to talk some hoops today.
I just want to point out that you've won three state titles since the last time we talked. So, there must have been something in our conversation that clicked.
It was 100% the podcast. It everything we talked about in there, we took and we just ran with it.
Yeah,
So
it helps that you've had some really, really great players, but yeah, we'll give credit to the podcast. So, this is your third state title as a head coach. How do you describe this season compared to the previous title runs you had at Hawaii and then the one at Middleton?
they're all unique. I felt really good about this team going into the season. There were some things we had new guys. Obviously, we had some transfers that were good, and we returned all five starters from a team that lost one game in the SIC during the year, won the district tournament, got upset, but I felt very confident about where we were at as a program and as a team. But I think that I thought we had a really, really strong plan this year with what we were trying to do. Losing to Meridian was hard, but it really exposed some things that we as a staff had known we needed to work on and fix. And I thought we did a really good job of tweaking those things and becoming much more efficient on the offensive end. And this year I felt really, really strongly about our team in pretty much every game because we were much more efficient offensively. And so, both our title runs, our last year at Middleton and then with Owyhee, we won and we were good and we were really good. But I did not feel like our offense was where it needed to be. Obviously, we were good offensively, but I didn't feel like we were very good offensively. And we went off, we're always going to be an elite defensive team. We're always going to preach toughness and playing together. But I did feel like we took a big step offensively this year, which is what separated us.
I think I remember Coach Ward saying after we got beat in a state semifinal game, you have to be able to score when you get to state. It's just essential. You can have a great, great team. And I would just say in the postseason, like you have to be able to score. You got to be able to find ways to do it. And that efficiency thing is critical, right?
No, the stat, and I think we're going to talk about this a little later in the podcast, but we averaged 6.62 turnovers a game for 27 games through our season. And I think that stat I was so obsessed with as we went through our year because I'm like, man, like if you get under 10 turnovers a game as a college team, which obviously they have more time, but that is incredibly efficient. And obviously, when you have more talent, which we did have more talent than most teams this year. But when you only turn the ball over six times and you're getting that many shot attempts, you're probably going to win the game. And that was a key ingredient to our success. And I want to give a shout out to my assistants, Nick Warnicki, Marcus Graham, a few others, like us adjusting our offense, keeping the same concepts, but Doing that allowed for us to be really efficient on that end, and I think it did separate us this year
So I
from
want
the from those other teams that won.
So you talked about after the winning the state title about how the administration's vision paved the way for this. And you're talking, if for listeners that don't know, Hawaii's a brand new school. So we're talking about in the 3 years that the school's existed, it's won three trophies. And obviously that's something that was important to the administration that came in. Administration support is so huge when it comes to having a successful basketball program, I believe. So, what was the vision when they hired you, and what are some ways that they've supported you over these 3 years?
Yeah, I met with Dane Roy and I had like 25 questions on a yellow notepad that I had asked him, and he pretty much said yes to all of them. And for me, it was like, wow, like, having the support is exactly what we need. Not that we didn't have that at Middleton. Andy Ankeny was an amazing AD. Middleton was an awesome place to coach. Hawaii is probably about the only place that we would have left for. Being able to build your own culture and create that own culture was very advantageous in my opinion, because as we got into year three, and you kind of saw it in Middleton in year three, we had never seen through 3 years of an entire program, and we want to stay in our third year at Middleton. And then to do that this year, I felt like our culture had been seen through. But Dane Roy, being a former basketball guy, obviously he's won two state championships. His dad is arguably the most decorated coach to come out of our state for boys or girls basketball. He understands the landscape of basketball. He understands exactly what we need. When I have any type of issue or when I need something, he can understand what I'm talking about with him. So I think that that was super important to me. Cliff Rice, pretty much all of the admin at Owyhee are athletic people. And so they are 100% on board with what we're doing. They want to support. They get exactly what we're going through. And so, I think that having that administration support, not that we didn't have it at Middleton, because we did, they were amazing too, but it's just out of Owyhee, I've never seen anything like it, where I think that we have really strong administration. And then the amount, all the coaches, like, I mean, I'm in there working out at 6 a.m. and you got dance going, you got football in the weight room, you got baseball upstairs. And that's, that was during our season, which I know us girls basketball, I mean, volleyball, you could go through all the sports. Like, the coaches there grind, and they've created a culture of like, this is what we do at Owyhee. So it starts with the admin and their vision, and it just, they support everything that we want to accomplish. Obviously you have to do things the right way. Obviously you have to have money and fundraise and all that, but they are always like, yeah, hey, go for it. Go run that kids camp. Go get that sponsorship. Run this winter tournament. So, I always feel like we're always being encouraged to do more,
On the personal end, what are some things that have been influential resources for you in regard to creating an environment of success?
Just, are you talking more like mentors or,
Yeah, I mean, it could be mentors or just maybe like we've had people on to talk about creating culture. If there's somebody that kind of not necessarily like a mentor, but some, books or other resources. So just kind of open-ended there.
yeah, I think a lot of my experiences, and as I've been growing up, and then obviously my assistant coaches, because we lean on them a ton, which I know we're going to talk about. But like Larry Crump at Bishop Kelly was my high school basketball coach, and I thought Larry's best attribute was his vision for the entire season. And so having that understanding, which I finally felt like this year, like I had a very good vision for how I wanted the season to turn. And then, I'm being honest, like my select basketball experience coaching with them, Clint Hordeman and Vince Hordeman are like ours. Like, I know AAU gets a really bad knock, but we legit have culture with AAU basketball. And we have kids from all across the Northwest playing in our program, but we do have a strong culture. And then obviously some of that's tied in. Colby Blaine coaches select as well, but coaching at College of Idaho, learning from Scott Garson, and Colby as an assistant. I mean, you can't get better mentors than those guys. And so a lot of what we do, like, I don't do everything that College of Idaho did, but a lot of what I learned was from that 1 year coaching with Coach Garson and Colby, and then select basketball. Like, we you'll see a lot of things that are very similar between all three of those programs.
One of the things that you talked about was how unselfish this group was. And you had some, I mean, some really, really good basketball players. And I'm sure every player on your roster, on the varsity roster, and probably some on the JV roster were sacrificing something, right? Like minutes and stats, being on a certain team. What steps did you and your staff take to get ahead of potential issues? Because it's awesome having a bunch of great players, but it also is derailed a lot of coaches in the past.
We have great parents, first of all. They were very understanding and supportive of our situation. We try to individually meet with our guys multiple times a year. Like I'm or to, after spring break, I'm going to meet with every player in our program that played this year. Where are you at? How you can get better? Where we see you going into summer? Obviously things can change, but we try to keep that communication very transparent all the time. I think that on the court, we continue to try to preach playing the game the right way, and our guys bought into that. And I think that that's just something like, no, make the right play, make the right play. That guy's open, they double teamed you, make the right play. Where, Liam, obviously, I mean, if Liam took 25 shots in a game, he could have averaged 35 points a game, like without a doubt in my mind. And he had a sacrifice this year. Bowden Howell, who came over, came from like 25 a game at the highest level in Oregon to any broke Kyle single season scoring or game record. He sacrificed. Logan Hausfeit, Jackson Rasmussen, guys that started for us last year, Jace Allen, Cam Downey, like everyone sacrificed to play the game the right way. And I know times are tough. Like I know that guys were frustrated and whatever else, but I want to give a shout out to their integrity and character because they did buy into what it took for us to win a state championship. But the biggest thing was we're always like, dude, just make the right play. Like if you're open, you need to shoot the ball. If they put two on you, you need to hit the open guy. And we just try to continually preach that throughout the year.
When it comes to determining roles, especially from game to game, I mean, like, were you kind of identifying how many minutes we want kids to play, or how did that kind of work?
Yeah, so we want to play 8 to 9 guys a game. I think in the state tournament, we consistently played 8. At Middleton, we played 9. When we won state our first year, we played 9. We just feel like we need to, like, we want to play really, we play really hard. Like, our guys, we expect that they play hard and they do. So there's no way that you can physically play an entire game if we're demanding exactly what we want from you on the defensive end. If we want you to crash every time on offense. If we want you to sprint and play full speed all game. So we feel like that 8 to 9 number is perfect. I'd love to play 10, but we need more minutes in high school basketball if we're going to do that. But we, RC Nugent is one of my assistants. We stole him from Baltimore, Maryland, and he runs the sub chart. And his job during the game is to sub. And he has a plan. Obviously, if let's say Jackson Rogers hits 2 threes and he's supposed to come out, well, maybe he stays in for a little longer because let's keep him going. He's hot. But we have that sub chart. RC follows it. RC does it off field and he just rotates guys through the game. So I'm not even coaching. Like, I'll advise, I'll give ideas, but he's got it. He knows, hey, we need to have Liam Campbell or Jackson Rasmussen always in the game. We always need to have Jace Allen or Logan Hausfeit, our point guards. One of them needs to be in the game at all times. But he just builds that through the year and through the state tournament. I mean, it was dialed in. RC did a great job with that. And we told him that, and he's been doing that for 3 years for us.
Yeah, when did you feel comfortable enough as a coach to kind of give off that duty to, especially the subbing to an assistant coach? It's something that I've been doing, and like I think it's helped out our team. And Maddie, my assistant, she's the one that's in charge of doing the rotations. I just got to a point where I was like, I can't do all of this. You need to do this. When did that happen for you?
I mean, honestly, our last man at Middleton, I can't remember. I think I did it. And then RC came in. I mean, we have so many assistants, and I know people joke with me all the time, like, God, I mean, you guys have too many guys. I mean, you have enough guys to coach each kid on the team. And I'm just like, well, these guys are really good at what they do. So I may as well give them something to do during the game that, like you said, will take take less pressure off me to have to do everything. So our first year at Hawaii, about halfway through the year, I'm just like, RC, you got it. Like, just take it. We obviously bounce ideas off each other. He bounces ideas off our other coaches during the game, but it's just one less thing that I have to worry about, and I trust him. He's a really, really strong coach. He's a very capable coach, and I believe in what he's doing, and he's in a tough spot, man, because everyone is like, oh, why that guy come out, and why am I losing minutes? And it's a hard spot to be in, but he's really good at it. So
Yeah, I'd also say that I have given that to Maddie, but I also support everything that she does. And, I would never say, okay, she did, like it, my decision, and I'm going to stick by the assistant on that. So
well,
go
and
ahead.
not to interrupt you, but I'm sure there's times you're like, get that person back in the game. Or there was one time, and I love Ryan Brecky, he's a sophomore for us. I'm like, no, you're actually not going to go in. You're going to go in and finish this game. So there's times where you overrule him, and you talk stern, and but no, I support his decisions 100%, just like I'm sure you do with Maddie.
So let's talk a little bit more about your staff and how you kind of divvy up some of those responsibilities. And then, especially what it looks like in practice and how you kind of format that based on maybe what the practice plan is for the night.
Yeah, I'll talk about the game first, and then we'll talk about practice. Like, during the game, these guys are all doing something. I see some other staffs, and I'm like, man, like they just sit there, And I think that there's a lot of value in having, like, if you're gonna have those guys there, and I think that we have a really, really strong staff with a lot of experience in different areas. Like, we need to utilize them. So, I've got Steele Hadlock. He's literally at the front of the bench. He's staring at that other coach getting their play calls, and we're charting them, we're writing them down. We've got a long notebook of play calls from every program that we've played against or seen, and he's just, if we can steal a possession where a backdoor is coming or an elevator or an ISO to Barrett Wilson for Madison, like we're trying to do that. And so he's doing that. Jacob Lukasik is sitting there. He's helping us with matchups. So in the state tournament, when guys are subbing in, he's like, you got Nash, you've got, Barrett Wilson, you've got those guys. Like, that's who you're going to match up with. He's doing that. Nick Warnke is, I mean, he knows every team like the back of his hand. So he knows their play calls. He's also helping me with, with what we should run offensively. And Marcus Graham is one of our offensive guys. He's like, hey, let's run this play. This guy came into the game. Let's go right at that guy. Like, we need to go at that guy. Like, what set can we run or go at that guy? RC's obviously got subs, and then my dad and Coach Bauman, they're more tracking like toughness, offensive rebounding to defensive rebounds, 50-50 balls. But also Coach Bauman did a really good job this year of being Mr. Positive. So when guys would sub out of the game, I'm like, dude, I need you to be his best friend. Like, I'm gonna yell at him. So when he sits down, you need to go down there and show him some love. And so he did a really, really good job of that. And like, I see you smiling, like there's a ton of value in having good cop, bad cop on that bench. So all those guys are doing stuff. And that's for the game. I can cover practice. I don't know if you have any questions about the game or whatnot.
Yeah, no, I just wondering when you get that second row in.
Man, the state gave us 15 chairs on that bench, and I think it was 20, and we used every single one of them.
Yeah.
So if they give us that opportunity, we've got more people that want to help. We're all in on that. So
Yeah,
yeah.
no, so go ahead and tell us what a practice looks like.
No, I mean, we use those guys all practice. Like, we start out, we stretch as a program together. That's all three teams. Marcus runs that, does a great job with that. The kids take it over about halfway through the year and they run it, but you got varsity, JV, soft, freshman, sophomore. They're all like, they know the routine. We warm up together. And then we go into various drills that we incorporate, kind of similar to College of Idaho, where, we want to get moving. We want to get passing and finishing involved. They're snapping passes, they're saying names. Usually Marcus runs that, and then we're into some type of shell defense drill throughout our program. And I trust Marcus and Nick. They run the varsity. I try to help our sophomore team. I go down there. I'm doing that. But through our practice, like, I mean, literally our JV and varsity practice together. So we're doing all kinds of drills, and I mean, Marcus takes on the shooting, so we spend at least 20 minutes every day just literally shooting the ball and different drills that we do, but he completely takes that on. He does a great job with that. You got to make shots to win, and we feel like that's a super important thing. Warnke does a lot of our shell defense, so we have, 10 drills that we like to do that we're grinding out at least 10 to 15 minutes with every day of jump, something as simple as jumping to the ball, or how ball screen defense or whatever. So those guys are doing all that kind of stuff. During practice, about the second hour, we're playing press games. We're scrimmaging 4-on-4, 3-on-3. And typically this year, Warnke's our JV coach. He has the JV team, but then I have Marcus and our C coach, our varsity teams. And I'm just a head official. So those guys are each coaching their individual groups, and we're just going. Like the last hour, we're changing drills, but we're playing literally the entire time. So I give my staff a lot of freedom to have a voice. I think I do. I hope I do. That's my goal. And I think it's good for the kids to hear different voices throughout our practice.
You have to be honest that you're working with a different caliber of basketball player than, some coaches in Idaho. So I just wanted to know, how much time do you have to spend on development and skills work versus, like you said, you're spending about an hour playing through concepts, 3-on-3, 4-on-4, and 5-on-5.
No, you're right. We're very fortunate. I mean, we don't do a lot of ball handling. I don't even think we did a ball handling drill this year, to be honest with you. A lot of footwork stuff with shooting. Obviously, we really break down defense. I know Mike McClain, I took this from Mike McClain. We spend 10 minutes every day on one-on-one. Like we're, and I think that's a question you have later. Like we're doing one-on-one in the full court, three quarter, half court, from the block, from the elbow. We definitely do that, but it's a lot of concept-based stuff. 4-on-3, 3-on-3 with an action, 5-on-5-on-5 with an action. So we don't, I mean, skill-wise, like our gym is always open. It's open during the season, it's open in the off-season. So if guys want to put in that extra time, it's available to them. But when we're practicing, like we're competing pretty much the entire time.
How did you and your staff, and you kind of talked about this approach building the offensive concepts for this group? I mean, you've got a bunch of talented players, you've got some guards, you got some height as well. How did you kind of build that concept?
We've always wanted to be motion based. I was very intrigued in our last podcast a few years ago with Preston because they ran a set every time down the floor, and like that's what they do. And they've obviously Coach Jones has four championships to speak for it, so it's worked. Just growing up for me, I played for Larry Crump. He's a motion guy. Select basketball, motion guys. Clint is a motion guy, and then Colby Blaine is a motion guy. So we've always been tinkering with our motion, trying to figure out how we can play. And I think the biggest thing that we figured out this year was getting into actions and letting our guys play from there. How can we create an advantage early in the shot clock and then play out of it? So I thought we did a really good job of having some different things that we could get into to create movement, to create screening, and then like identifying, dude, this is an advantage. How are we going to attack this? Like they're switching everything. We just ran this. So how can we get a throwback throw into to Raz or Liam or someone, which is putting immediate pressure on the defense? And we have a big group chat. We're sending videos. We're sending hoop vision stuff all the time of different stuff that we like. We're like, dude, that's good motion. Like that's false motion into motion. But the biggest thing I learned is you can't just yell motion and they're just going down, and there's so many turnovers that happen. There's so much, like you want your guys to have freedom, but you also have to create that freedom for them.
So, what were some of the actions that you were intrigued with this year and found that worked pretty well?
I think Zoom, like we love Zoom. Getting into different Zoom actions is super important. A lot of that five out stuff, throwing to the top of key and playing basketball from there. We like a ton. Obviously, we call it open, but everyone calls it whatever they want to call. But I think Zoom has been something that we grind out. We grind it out in 3-on-3. Like we want to run. I mean, I just texted our group chat this morning because Marcus sent our chat like a different Zoom that I think Creighton or someone was running. And I'm like, how can we run Zoom every single possession next year? So I think that's something that is a staple of what we're trying to accomplish.
So let's jump over to the defensive end and kind of identify what are two or three priorities for your players when it comes to defense.
You got to guard the ball. I mean, if you can guard the ball and you don't have to put two on the ball, you're going to be really efficient offensively or defensively. Going back to what I said earlier, like we spend 10 minutes, you know, obviously as you get later in the year, like you're getting around district time. We don't have time to do 10 minutes of one-on-one because we got other things we got to work on. But the first 75% of our season, like at least 10 minutes a day in different areas, we're playing one-on-one. And it's make it take it. Like you get a stop, well, you're going again. First guy to seven stops is going to win this game. So we spend 10 minutes on that. That's the number one thing that you have to be really good at. I think ball screen defense, having a plan with your ball screen defense is something that's super important. Like whether you're switching, you're icing, you're blitzing, you're in drop, like your guys have to be on the same page of what you're doing. So we spend a lot of time on shell. Obviously, we work on our ball screen coverages. So that is huge. And then just having an identity, man. Like, are you going to deny? Are you going to be in the gaps? Are you a zone team? Like, again, like we have a lot of rules within our defense that we incorporate. And then, you know, our guys are just playing from there. So, you know, we spend a lot of time in 5-on-5 shell, but the offense is not trying to score. We're telling them what actions we want them to create throughout their movement. And then our defense is just repping out how to guard those actions as they're free flowing. So, you know, I think we take a ton of pride in our defense, and I think that we've been really, really good on that end. I know I feel like it's not talked about enough, but I think we are an elite defensive program. That's what we were at Middleton too. And then the last thing is you got to rebound. You got to block out every freaking time. Like you have to block out, even if you give up an open shot. If you block out, you limited them to one shot. So those are the things that we're really keying on that end of the floor.
With the one-on-one, are you changing partners regularly?
Yeah. There'll be times where like sometimes we will like sometimes it's like one-on-one for the entire time. Usually that's the full court one, and I will make it miserable for guys. Like I'll be like, man, Bodie, you got to guard Liam for this entire session. And Bodie's a really high-level player. Liam in one-on-one is pretty much impossible to stop. And so, like, you set your guys up for failure at times to see what they can get better at and do, and so it can challenge them. And then other times you just do king of the court where it's like make it take it, or you get a stop, you stay on defense. And it's really good for our guys because like Logan Hossfight is like trying to guard Jackson Rasmussen on the block. And he's like, Coach, I'm never gonna be in this spot. And I'm like, you gotta learn because sometime you might be. I'll let you go on the 3-point line and he can guard you out there later on. So I think our guys being able to do multiple things is super important.
So you're putting them in different spots on the floor as well in this one-on-one action.
From the block to the elbow to the 3-point line to the volleyball line to half court to three quarter to full court. Like we try to change it up obviously every day, but we're trying to do one of those spots pretty much every day.
All right, and then talk a little bit about rebounding. Are you doing specific drills for that, or is it just kind of point values within these games? How are you working on that?
My dad does a great job of watching that. So he like that's his job. Like he'll just come over to me and be like, dude, Liam didn't block out. He hasn't blocked out in like three possessions. So that immediately I'm like, all right, you're not blocking out. But to be honest with you, we don't do a lot of rebounding drills. We every time I freaking done one of those, like someone gets hurt, someone sprains their ankle. So we obviously teach them how to block out, show them the form, show them what it looks like. And honestly, we have some videos that we have shown our kids of, you know, Texas Tech lockouts and stuff like that from Chris Beard's time that we show them. So we do that for defense. And then offensively, it's more like we just try to demand it. You know what I mean? And then my dad is watching, like, hey, they're not crashing. Like that guy's not crashing. That guy doesn't crash. We kind of have a rule where we want to send four. And the guy at the top of the key is getting back. But that's a mentality thing. And I think you really saw that in our state tournament because I think that we dominated the boards. And that is something that, again, you know, whether you're making or missing shots, if you're dominating that glass, you have a chance to win the game.
Can you talk a little bit about film and how you kind of utilize that? Obviously, you're showing them some film from, okay, this is, watch Texas Tech here. This is how you rebound. But in regard to kind of throughout the season, how are you using it? What's it look like before a game?
Yeah, like we have videos that we show for examples for the guys, like walling up, things like that. And then we try to, like, every one of my assistants, that's another thing they did. Like, I gave them the freedom to have their own scouts this year. So they were all scouting specific teams. And, it was weird. Like, some years we have, like literally we're clipping every game and we're like showing them. Here's what Eagle does. Here's what Centennial does. Like this year, we kind of dumbed it down to like not a lot, where we just wanted our guys to react. So we would show them certain clips of like, here's a play that they're going to run. Like we need to be aware of this. But a lot of times, like this year, we just kind of, we let it, like we wanted them to just play. And so we didn't do that. During the state tournament, we did. Like we had, personnel like, hey, all left hand. And it's personnel clips and then some of their plays. We don't really get into a lot of every single set. And quite frankly, we don't walk through all that. Like, we just don't, we want our guys to react and play. Early in the year, midway through the year, we will clip like teaching clips of our guys, like, hey, in this play, here was the read, we missed it. But if they do this, this is open. Or like, hey, you're being really lazy. Let's show everyone how lazy you're being. And then the thing that I really loved this year that we started doing about halfway through the year, and this was Coach Graham's idea, was positive clips. And he would clip positive clips from every game. And then right before the next game, he would show the previous game positive clips to our guys. And our guys loved it. Like they freaking ate it up. They were excited for it. They're juiced for it. And I thought it really helped our culture a ton this year. And I want to give Coach Graham a shout out. That was his idea, and it definitely helped.
Yeah, I met up with A.W. Wells this last weekend, and he followed you guys in the state tournament, and he talked about what an impression that positive clips aspect made.
Yeah, I mean, you can, hey, he's running it, but like, the kids were genuinely excited. Like you could hear them being like, oh yeah, positive clips, here we go. Like, and they're getting excited for each other and they're hyping each other up. So I think for your culture and for your chemistry, it's a really good thing, especially on game day. Just after school, you have your little meeting and you're like, hey, like let's watch these 20 clips from the previous game. So
Nice. So you guys graduate one senior. I want to talk about Liam a little bit. Going to USC, that doesn't happen to Idaho kid very often. So question is, what are the off-court attributes that make him such a special player?
yeah, Liam, 3 years with that kid, like, I mean, he's probably in the gym right now at Owyhee, but he was, well, the number one thing that he possesses that, everyone's like, Liam could have had a very strong ego. Liam could have been very selfish, but Liam is incredibly coachable. And so I can be just as mad as can be coaching him really hard. He just looks me in the face and goes, yes, coach. Like, all right, like I got you, And so he's very coachable. He's very disciplined. He, in practice, it's not like he is taking every rep like it's the NBA finals. So whether it's form shooting or 5-on-5-on-5 or whatever, like he's not messing around. Like he is so locked into that moment that our other guys just have to be. Like if you're not, if Liam's doing it, Liam's the number 76 player in the country going to SC. Like if he's doing that, you better do that. Like otherwise you're out of place. So he provided that for us. He's laser sharp with his focus. He is not a vocal person. Like that's just not his personality. He's more reserved. He's quiet. Like he's gonna do what he needs to do. But he is not like rah-rah, all that. So but I will say that I felt like halfway through the year this year, like I had numerous times in our huddles, in practice, at halftime, like he was being more vocal with his teammates about like, dude, you're good. It's okay. Like, guys, we got this. Like, so I thought he did took a huge step this year with his leadership stuff, which helped us be very successful. But man, like That kid is an incredible person to coach, a great kid to coach. We are really going to miss him. I'm very excited about his younger brother, who's in seventh grade, Brendan Campbell, who is going to be really, really good. Just FYI for the state, there's another Campbell coming. So, but no, I mean, Liam's a special player, and there's a reason he's going to USC.
You also return a bunch of kids back. So, I think one of the things that we talked a lot about in our program is obviously complacency and that we have to keep pushing and getting better and better and better. So how are you guys kind of thinking about this team and how will you approach kind of your summer ball so that you get ready for next season?
Yeah, man. I mean, to be honest, I haven't thought about it at all. I've been after spring break, which is next week, we will meet with the kids. We will talk about, I shouldn't say that. After spring break, we'll have open gyms. The gym's been open. Like, I haven't opened it. My other assistants have, they go work out, they work other guys out. Like, so I know they've been in there. Like, Bowden Howell, the night after the state championship, wanted to be in the gym. So those guys are working on their own, but we're gonna do what we do. We're gonna be playing in the spring at least 2 to 3 times a week. They're gonna be, it's all optional, but these guys want it. So we'll be working out. We'll be, based on the rules, obviously. We have, the guys shoot on their own. The guys are so good that they know how to work out on their own. So we open that gym and they're in there doing what they need to do. Obviously we treat summer like a regular season. So we're gonna go into those games with our rotations. RC's gonna be subbing. We're gonna be playing to win every game. And we're gonna see what we're made of. I'm super excited about the summer. Our schedule's lined up, it's really good. I mean, we're gonna play some of the very best teams on the West Coast. So we'll see what we're made of and we'll see who's ready to go.
All right. So I want to talk a little bit about a Waihi culture. And so one of the things that is very noticeable is that in a time where high schools can have a hard time drawing students to their games, you guys have the Stormtroopers, you're able to get that gym rocking. So kind of how did that develop and how has that impacted kind of the development of the basketball culture there at Waihi?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it goes back. It starts with our admin. Like, they're really strong. They're pushing it every day at the school. Our other sports are all support each other. So, we try our best to go to as many other sports as we can. We went to a wrestling match this year, support girls basketball. Obviously, our football gets support. And we try to show each other's love. Like, we buy the band shirts. Like, we're trying to get out there and let each other know how we want them to have success. And I think that it just goes back to the coaches. Like, all the coaches genuinely want each other to succeed. So they're giving that same message, like, hey, you need to get to the wrestling match. You need to get to the football game. Let's go support those guys. And so you see that with basketball. I think obviously, like, our first year, Jack Payne and Max Saavedra had quite the following. And so, like, the Jack effect was real. Like, it was a real thing, and we've just kind of built on that momentum from there. But I'm telling you, like, Hawaii's different. It's a different place, and I think it starts with the admin and the coaches.
So one of the things that you do is the Pro Image Sports Holiday Classic, and it just continues to grow. I read last year you had 40 teams, and they came from Washington and Oregon, Arizona, and California, and it's really becoming one of the more elite tournaments in the Northwest and probably soon in the West. What's the process for organizing a regional tournament like this? It's got to be a handful.
Yeah, we're still, I mean, even this last year, like, we have a whole notepad of things that we're like, okay, do that different, do that different, do that different. We went to the Damien. We try to take notes from every event that we go to see, like, how they operate and what they're doing. But we've always wanted to run a tournament. Our second year at Middleton, we went to Preston and we were like, dude, we can do this. No one does this in the Valley. And then we ran it our third year at Middleton during COVID, and it was actually a really strong Idaho field. I mean, you had Madison and Lake City and Post Falls and Pocatello. And so that was really good. That was only 8 teams. And then from there, we've just tried to grow it. So each year we've grown it. We wanted this year was the year where we were finally like, we can get teams from out of state that are really good to come. And that's been through a lot of hard work with just networking slash playing in Section 7, playing in Damien, playing in Border League. And they're like, oh yeah, like we know Waihi, we know Idaho. Like we'll go up there and play in your tournament. So we got it to year three where we were able to play in it. And it's a lot of work. Travis Hawks, who is a big time sports person here in this valley, owns Pro Image, and he helps sponsor, like Pro Image sponsors it, and they've been a huge support to us. Travis is an incredible person, and he's been nothing but helpful. So having his support with Pro Image, and then just the vision of trying to build it with our groups, like, we want to bring in the best teams possible. I mean, this last year we had Salesian, who was 5 points away from being the number one team in the state of California. Corona Centennial, obviously, historically, isn't amazing. They were good this year. They weren't what they've been, but they still had the number nine player in the country on their team. So we want to get it to the point where the best Idaho teams come in and play, and then you get 4 to 5 out-of-state teams that are really good, and just create an environment that, is different and is something that Idaho hasn't seen before. So.
Well, I really appreciate your time, Andy. I got one more question for you, and I just want to know, like, what drives you as a coach?
The relationships with the kids, like just being able to work with those guys and be around them and compete with them is a lot of fun. I'm st like we're still young as a staff. Like this was year six, so like I'm still like still our guys are still in college mostly, but hopefully in 2 years I can go have a beer with Tyler Robinette and Cash Cowdery, and some of those guys still come by and see our guys and talk to our program. Got a lot of texts when we won this year from kids, but I think the relationship building is huge. And I think that that's the most fun thing, like just getting to know these guys, hearing, I mean, just, and what their slang and how they talk and what their interests are, and just watching them grow up like throughout their life is something that I think is super important. I think that that's the most important thing that we do as a staff is just building relationships. I think that, having that with those kids is really ultimately what matters and how you define success. And if you can get really good at that, you're gonna have more success on the court. So that's what I'm trying to do. In terms of Hawaii, like we want to build a really strong program. So the goal every day is to continue to make us that much better. So that's definitely what we're focused on right now. And how do we win a Damien? How do we win a Section 7? That's kind of what we're focused on.
And I'm a coach, so I actually have one more point or one more question in this case. So since the last time that we kind of talked and did this podcast, like, what would you say has been your biggest growth area?
Yeah, I think the vision thing was really good for me. I think just seeing through, like, when I was younger, I felt like I lived through every moment on like every day, every practice, every like I thought standing up and coaching every single second of the game, like I thought, like this is going to affect the outcome. And then I realized that long term, it may not affect the outcome. And so kind of like having that bigger vision as you go through the year has been super, super. I think that that's where I've grown the most as a coach, is just like letting the game play before me and not on the sideline, like every call, every moment having a reaction. And same thing with practice. Like I'm always trying to think of like, and just thinking of our team, I'm thinking 4 months ahead to 5 years ahead and not that day, So.
Right. And if I can ask a follow-up question, I mean, you talk about a vision and maybe for a year. I mean, what does that look like? Is that like, okay, by this time we want this, or what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think, we wanted to get our offense better, for example. So we had a vision and we went about it very diligently. And I think we saw some success. And now we're like, all right, we need to do this, this, and this next year. But how do we build it throughout the year? Like, how do we in December put this, this, and this in? And then by, end of February, it's clicking at this level. We're always evaluating kids. Like, that kid's a freshman, he's on the sophomore team, but where in 2 years, where does he need to get to if we want to be here? And so we're constantly having those conversations as a staff, and honestly with those kids, to be like, dude, we need you to get here. You're here right now. But this is why you're in this spot, and we're going to try to get you to here. And so, I mean, I'm always forward thinking with that kind of stuff. Like, hey, we're going to play modern day in this game today. I need to talk to that coach for 15 minutes because I want to get him to the pro image tournament in 2 years. So that's kind of our mentality, and that's how we've been operating.
All right. Well, obviously it's been successful, and I just want to congratulate you on another state title. I mean, here you might make a run at Andy Jones and Emery Roy.
Got a lot of years ahead if we're going to do that. So I got to just keep grinding. I appreciate you having me on, Will. Seriously.